Well, you know what? His blood is on our hands as well, because it was our sins that nailed him to that cross. We all crucified him. We all stand guilty. And you know what? It's interesting. Peter could convince them. He could have, you know, just, you know, gone through the steps and convinced them that they were sinners in general. But he wanted to drive this point home to them specifically, because this was the one thing. Just like that young man that we were talking to out there. That said, I want you to think of the one thing, the worst thing, the darkest thing. Peter pulls this out because he knows that this is the one thing that they could not escape. They knew they were sinners in general. That's why they came to the feast, because they would offer sacrifices and kill bulls and lambs and sheep and all this kind of stuff. But he wanted to bring conviction, so he pulled out this one thing, because you know what? There is a truth about every person in this room. You and the person next to you. There is something true about each one of us here today, each person in the world, but specifically about each one of us here today. You know what that is? Everybody here today has a skeleton in their closet. I think we have a picture. Hello. We all have a skeleton. Yeah, we know we're sinners. Sure, you know, nobody's out here saying, I'm perfect, I have never sinned in my life. Yeah, I'm just, you know, Jesus looked to me for inspiration. Nobody's out there like that. We all know we've fallen short. We're all sinners. But we all have a skeleton. There is something in each of us, in our heart, in our life, in our history. If you could think of the one thing that you are the most ashamed of, the one thing that you have done that you just could not believe that you were capable of doing that. You think of all the things, I mess up every day, I fall short, but you know, there's one thing, if I could change this one thing, man, if there's one thing in my life, if I could change it, this is the thing it would be. This is the thing that I would never want anybody to know. You could put most of my sins up on the screen, I really wouldn't blink a whole lot of eyes about that, but you know, this one thing I don't want anybody to know. I heard a testimony once of a woman. They had a church service where they gave out little slips of post-it notes that you could write your one thing on. And what they were going to do was, these were for people who were going to be baptized. And they said, before you get baptized, I want you to take one thing that you're most hurt by that you've done, this one dark thing that you're most ashamed of, and I want you to write it on this piece of paper and fold it up, and I want you to come up and nail it to the cross. They had a cross at the front of the room, similar to this one. And she wrote, terrified, in the tiniest letters that she could make with a pen, abortion. And she was eaten up inside by this thing that she had done that to her was unthinkable. She couldn't imagine how she ever was brought to a place where she could do that. And she was so ashamed of it. And she didn't want anybody in to know. And it terrified her to think that somebody might see over her shoulder or see over her hand and see this word that she was writing on this piece of paper. And she wrote it as small as she could, and she folded up that piece of paper. And when she stood up to come to the front, she looked at the pastor at the front who she was going to give it to nail it to the cross. And she said she saw in his face tenderness and compassion, the love of God just shining through his eyes. And it just broke her heart. Not in a bad way, but it broke her heart with joy to get that affirmation in that moment that Christ accepted her in spite of what was on that paper. And that's what God wants us to know. Just like Peter told those Jews on that day, that one thing about them that they could not escape, God wanted us to know that one thing that each of us has, that skeleton as it were, that we would be crushed if anybody knew about us, that we don't think we could even tell a pastor or an elder or a trusted friend. Even our best friend doesn't know, because it hurts us so bad that we could be capable of that thing. God wants us to know. That's what he came for. He loves us in the face of that thing with an unconquerable love. And nothing that you have ever done or thought or said can stand in the way of his incredible, invincible love for you. I don't care how dark, I don't care how selfish or how vile or how unthinkable it is or was. You may be wrestling it with it this very day. You may, your last memory of it might have been last night or this morning. You might be hurting from it right now as I speak. You may not have even found victory over this thing. It may not even be something of the past. And God wants you to know that His love for you is far and away stronger and more powerful in every way than whatever that sin is that you're thinking about right now. And each of us has something like that. We are all guilty. And yet God loved each one of us so much that He would sacrifice His only begotten Son so that that could never stand between us and Him. That's His love for you. That's what this cross means. It's not just, oh yeah, I'm a sinner. It's, I'm that kind of a sinner. And God loves even me. Passionately. Invincibly. When we talked to that young man sitting there at the city dock, and I told him I wanted to think about that, I don't even think he had to go back to work to think about it. I don't even think he had to contemplate on it. It showed in his face. When I said that, his whole countenance changed. It was like pain on his face. And yet hope at the same time. If you can imagine in someone's countenance, pain and hope at the same time. He knew exactly what I was referring to. I didn't know, but he knew. You could see it in his eyes. And he thanked us for that gospel message as he left to go back to work. Every one of us stands in his shoes. That is what Christ came to die for. And you know what? There is no religion in this world that can take that away from you. There is no religion in this world aside from Jesus Christ that can enable you to stand before the judgment seat of God on that day and have God say, not guilty. There is no religion in the world that can give you peace from that thing. You can't do enough good works to ease the torment that causes you. You can't do enough good deeds or make enough pilgrimages to Mecca or enough donations to the poor to take away the torment of that thing. But the blood of Jesus Christ washes away every stain, every sin. God said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins will be like scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be like wool. That's what the blood of Jesus does. So there is no other religion in the world. Why is Jesus the only way? Because only Jesus Christ can cleanse you and make you pure and holy before a completely righteous God. So that when you stand before Him on that day, He won't have to cast you into hell. He can say, welcome home. I've been waiting for you. Come and inherit come and enter into the joy of the Lord. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Only Jesus can do that. So if you're saved today, if you have repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ, God wants you to know. He wants you to know. He passionately, deeply wants you to know that your sins are gone. He has forgotten them. He has cast them into the deepest sea. He has removed them as far as the east is from the west. And He does not want you to spend a moment, say a moment, He doesn't want you to spend a moment of your time regretting your past sins or wondering if you are truly, really, completely forgiven. He wants you to know you are washed, you are cleansed, and He has forgotten your sin. Know that. Maybe you're still struggling with it. Like I said, if you're saved today, but there's this thing that God is trying to take out of your life and you're wrestling with that thing, He also wants you to know that through His Holy Spirit, you can have the power to overcome that thing. And if you will come to Him and confess that to Him and ask for His power and grace and allow Him through the body of Christ to put people around you who will encourage you and pray for you and love on you, there is nothing that you cannot overcome by the power and grace of Jesus Christ. So if you're saved and you have those experiences, God wants to encourage you today. Be encouraged. He has died to provide victory for you. If you are not saved, if you have never truly repented of your sins and said, God, I am sorry for the things I've done, and have put your faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone as your Savior, if you have never received Him as your Lord and Savior, truly. I don't care if you've said the sinner's prayer a dozen times. If you have never gotten on your face before God and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I was wrong. I am sorry I was wrong. I want to change. I am tired of doing things that you say not to do. I'm tired of dishonoring you with my life. I want to live for you and honor you and glorify you with my life. And I need a Savior who can wash me and cleanse me and make me clean and holy before God. If you have never taken that time, Christ is anxiously wanting to embrace you. If you would like to receive Him today as your Lord and Savior, I'd like to pray with you so that you can truly do that and witness before God and His angels that you want a new life and ask Christ to give it to you. Because we don't worship some religion. We worship a living being who is Lord of all and who is mighty to save. So I'm just going to say, let's just go before the throne of God right now and appropriate the grace that He has for us. If you want to pray to truly receive Christ as your Lord of your life and your Savior, or if you want to pray about any other thing, I would be delighted to pray with you. And I know we have elders that would pray also. But if you just want to get one-on-one with God, please don't miss this opportunity. Let's go before Him and get the grace that He has for us. Thank you, Lord. Father, I know that there are things that are on our hearts. When we talked about that one thing, that thing that besets us, that thing that haunts us, God, I know that each of us knows that pain, what that pain is like, to want to be clean and yet not be able to be free of that thing. And so I pray for everyone here that was hurt by that thought, that felt that twinge of conscience, that pang of remorse. I pray that you would give them the grace to know that they know that they know that you bled and suffered for them so that they could go free. Father, I pray you would set them free this morning, even now, even at this moment, God. That you would just go into the depths of their being, Lord, and bring your healing power and heal that and cleanse that and wash that clean, Lord, and give them new life in Christ. Father, I pray you do that now by your Holy Spirit. Have mercy on us, Lord. Change us.